Thank you so much, Margie. I know this might sound odd, but with all these people at church today, I don't know what to do with myself. My. I can't remember the last time I saw so many people at church. I'm used to preaching to empty pews, so praise the Lord. We are slowly but surely getting to the point of reopening again. I'd like to just reiterate what Jim shared, that even though Douglas County is in phase two, the church also follows a process so that we can implement things in an orderly fashion, because there's more things to just opening up to make church a reality and a safe place for everyone. So thank you for your patience, board members. We do meet Tuesday night to discuss these good things. And let's see here. Was it last week? Yes, it was. Janet, thank you so much for your concert last Sabbath evening. We were out in College Place. We were able to watch it. And so thank you so much for your efforts. I was greatly blessed. And thank all of you participants in one way, shape, or form that are giving of your time. Thank you, Cam, who's making sure that the live stream happens. Greg and his boys in the sound booth. These are all blessings that God gives us. So thank you all. I don't know about you, but I'm ready for the word of the Lord. How about you? Let us pray. Gracious and loving Father above, we thank you so much for your goodness and faithfulness. We thank you because you are in control of all things. And when things come our way, we are able to trust you no matter what comes. Why? Because you are true to your word. And so it's your word that we need to hear this day. So may you speak to us, O God. And may we ever be prepared to see Jesus. Send us your spirit, O Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Why do the nations rage? I'd like to preface this sermon with an invitation. Don't you love invitations? What's the invitation? To listen to the whole thing. For you may be tempted to tune out and miss what God is trying to tell us today. Why do the nations rage? Why does this nation rage? Because it's raging. Part of it is racism. Does that thing actually exist? Does it exist in our country? Does it exist in our state? Even in our beloved city of Roseburg? What a blessing to see all of God's children. Black, white, brown, and the list goes on. But I will say this. I do rejoice when I see black people in town. Because it doesn't always happen. And I say, praise the Lord, that I'm able to see a little bit more of a fuller representation of God's children. Sadly, I know racism is in Roseburg. On one occasion, I was being served by a black person in an establishment, and I told them the following. I'm so happy to see people of color. And then they did this. They leaned forward. They said, I don't stay here on the weekends. I don't feel safe. I don't know what they've gone through to be able to make a statement like that, but it's a fear that is there. Whether it's getting carded at the checkout stand when nobody else is getting carded, or having my own wife be told that she has horse hair. and that she should go back to her country. And then having others around say, no, keep on saying it. Don't stop. Don't apologize, because we have freedom of speech. We may have freedom of speech, but it may not always be rightness of speech. I'd like to say that racism is limited to the United States of America, but guess what? It's in other countries too. There always seems to be some sense of caste system, so to speak. But what we can say is there's pain. What is going on? I'll tell you what's going on. Lawlessness. What kind of lawlessness? Oh, it's multifaceted. Social injustice, police brutality, racism, looting, destroying property, attacking police, or maybe even worse yet, indifference. All of these are lawlessness. All of these are wrong. Does God even care about how we treat one another? Why should the preacher talk about these things? It's just not simply a society issue, because guess what? Society is you and society is me. This is about us. Should I even be concerned or give any thought to Black Lives Matter? I believe we should care. But Pastor, doesn't the Bible say, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God? Oh, yeah, it does. And doesn't the Bible say, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life? Absolutely. So what's the issue? The issue is this. Presumed innocent until proven guilty. But that's not the world we've been living in. It has become guilty until you can't breathe anymore. And the sad thing is that we've been seeing this happen again and again. Was George Floyd a hero? Nope. Was he a martyr? Mm-mm. Was he innocent? I don't know. What I do know is that he wasn't given the opportunity of a fair trial. That's what I do know. And if he was guilty, I also know that the Black community would say that he would have deserved to go to jail, because that's due process. What he didn't deserve was to die. With that being said, by and large, our law enforcement are amazing people. I've ridden with them in their patrol cars. They serve our community. And I currently work with law enforcement so that they can serve our church as well. But with any group, including mine, there can be a bad apple. Our law enforcement should be respected and supported. They're putting their lives on the line. But it's also time for our law enforcement to reevaluate their processes and procedures. This week, I asked myself, how should I respond? Stay quiet? Protest? Loot? Destroy property? No. My greater question was this. Not just how do I respond, but the greater question is, what's really going to bring about positive change? Have you thought about that? I'll tell you what's really going to bring about positive change is wrestling with these two statements. And the king will answer and say to them, assuredly, I say to you, inasmuch as you did it to one of the least of these, my brethren, did it to me. these were words that would be said to the sheep in the great judgment seat of Matthew 25. And then Jesus says, "Then he will answer them, saying, Assuredly, I say to you, inasmuch as you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it unto me." In other words, this is a personal matter. This is about what you and I do to bring about positive change. Why is it a personal matter? Because society isn't about to change. Huh? I have a hard time even trying to change myself, much less society, or another person for that matter. And I know what I just said could sound a little harsh, but I took the time this week to speak with some black people who lived through the civil rights movement and who are longtime Adventists. And I asked them, what would bring about positive change in this area? And their answer was exactly what I just finished sharing. I'm not saying that if we feel the need to write our mayors, governors, senators, congressmen, by all means, that would be appropriate response. But let's be honest. There is no law that can be passed that will change the heart of another person, which is where the real issue is at. Brood of vipers, how can you, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. If my heart is the issue, then how does it get fixed? The Bible says, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast within me. When I see people who are of a different color, different ethnicity, what do I think about them? We only have two black people in our church. And a lot of that may be just because of the demographics in our society here in Roseburg. But praise the Lord that we do have some representation. When I hear people speak a different language, different than mine, how do I react? In our church family, we have Filipinos, we have Koreans, Mexicans, French, Argentinians, Venezuelans, Uruguayans, and the list goes on. I ask these questions because our feelings are a reflection of what's in our hearts, the place that God wants to clean. But Pastor, I'm nice to black people and people of other ethnicities. All right. But can we do more? But woe to you, Pharisees, for you tithe what? Mint and rue and all manner of herbs, and pass by justice and the love of God. These you ought to have done without leaving the others undone. So what can I do? Appreciate people, all of them. And when it comes to people of color who have challenges with society in how relations come about, go an extra mile to be extra courteous and kind. When I cross paths with people of color in stores, where appropriate, because sometimes it's not appropriate, I'll make eye contact with them and then do the following. I'll smile. And then you want to know what more times than none is their response? It's not only a smile back. They'll say, hello. Why do I say this? Because there's fear. Maybe not in your heart, but there is in theirs. There's something else I need to say in regards to the racial tension, not only going on in our country, but it's in our worldwide church. Some think that not enough is being done in our church in regard to social justice and are being tempted to jump ship. Tempted to leave the Seventh-day Adventist Church, leaving this wonderful movement. I shared this with those that I spoke with this past week to get their 2 cents. And you want to know what they said? They said, how can we jump ship now? There was only one movement that they were concerned about, and it was this movement, the Three Angels' Messages. Why this movement? Because this is the only movement that's focusing on us getting off this planet. Because truth be told, there have only been 2 times in Scripture that we see that there was peace, unity, and equality. What were they? The Garden of Eden and the earth made new. Other than that, we don't see that. But our problem is, we think the world is going to get better. We think our country's going to get better. We're thinking our government's going to get better. I'm too busy with my Democrat hat on and my Republican hat on, and it's blinded my vision. I need to put my Christian hat on. Does that mean it's wrong to be a Democrat or a Republican? No, it's not. But if in thus doing, it blurs our vision of the sure word of prophecy, watch out. Is this world going to get better? My Bible tells me, no, it's not. 2 Timothy 3 says, but know this, that in the last days perilous times will come. For men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power, and from such people turn away. This describes what time period? The last days. World getting better? Our country getting better? I don't think so. I tell you what I want, and I hope you want it too. My heart is fixed. I want my heart to be fixed on God. I want my heart to be fixed and sing and give God praise. I want to be fixed on God. I want to be fixed on His holy word. I want to be fixed in trusting His soon return. How about you? We cannot allow anything to deter our preparation for this event because things are happening. And I need to bring our attention to some things that maybe we did not notice that happened this past week. Our country is in an uproar with racial tension, and it's sizzling. If there ever was a time to try to calm this inferno down, I think it would have been this past week. But our president chose to go on a little walk. And you might be thinking, oh no, Pastor Tony's going to start talking about politics again. Where's this picture taken? Grocery store? The mall? A national park? The White House? You're right, Margie. It's at a church. What's he holding? A Bible. I reckon that as a minister, you can talk about what happens in front of a church. Amen? What's interesting is that he doesn't say a word. He shows us the Bible, but what's clearly behind him? When's church? at least according to the leader of the free world, he just finished telling us in this picture. Sunday. And you might think, I'm stretching things just a little bit with this picture. I'll tell you one thing, I didn't take the picture. I was not there. But it was a picture he wanted everyone to see because it was his photo op. Well, what he did the following day leaves no doubt. The president and his wife go to St. John Paul II's National Shrine in Northeast D.C. They walk in front of it, paid homage to him, smiled for the cameras, and off they went. If there ever was a time to bring or try to bring our country to unity, it was now. But yet, this was not his focus. Why were they there? And why there? And why now? Could the president be more of a student of Bible prophecy than we are? This quote is taken from Crux Now. Crux Now is a Catholic website that considers itself as the pulse of the Catholic Church. Rome, marking the 25th anniversary of St. Paul II's encyclical on what? Christian unity. Pope Francis said he shares the healthy impatience of those who think more can and should be done, but he also insisted that Christians must be grateful for the progress made. What progress made is he referring to? The ecumenical movement, which includes Sunday worship. Then he says this, many steps have been taken in these decades to heal the wounds of centuries and millennia. Huh. What does the Bible say? And I saw one of his heads as if he had been mortally wounded. And his deadly wound was healed. And all the world marveled and followed after the beast. This October, world leaders will gather together with this purpose. I'm not saying that the Sunday law is going to come about in that meeting. But I'll tell you one thing. It's in the oven and it's almost done. And it's time we get our heads out of the sand. The president this past week made one thing and one thing clear that he wanted. What was it? Law and order. This is the law, Sunday, and Catholicism is the order. He pays homage to Pope John Paul II and then signs an executive order that is not just for our country. It is global. You tell me, is prophecy being fulfilled? You better believe it is. Those who honor the Bible Sabbath will be denounced as enemy of what? Law and order. As breaking down the moral restraints of society, causing anarchy and corruption, and calling down the judgments of God upon the earth. Wow, the very words he used. What's interesting is that Pope Francis, the irony is that he is known as whose pope? The people's pope. That's what he's known at. And previously when humanity has been suffering and a word of direction or encouragement was so-called needed, who would you hear from? The Pope. Our country is at odds with each other. Social injustice, riots, looting, division, and great pain. And what do we hear from the Vatican? Crickets. Nothing. Why are we hearing nothing from the people's pope? Because he's receiving what he's been wanting all along, power and healing. Why would the pope need to say anything? The president just did all the talking for him. Could the way that the special law enforcement officers, such as the National Guard, is being used as of late be simply an audition for compliance of the new law and order that is to be followed through on? Something to think about. But Pastor, you're starting to sound like an alarmist. Heretofore, those who presented the truth of the third angel's message have often been regarded as mere alarmists. Their predictions that religious intolerance would gain control in the United States, that church and state would unite to persecute those who keep the commandments of God, have been pronounced groundless and absurd. It has been confidently declared that this land could never become other than what it has been, the defender of religious freedom. But as the question of enforcing Sunday observance is widely agitated, the event so long doubted and disbelieved is seen to be approaching, and the third message will produce an effect which it could not have had before. I wonder what the effect will be. Could it be personal and corporate revival? Could it be evangelistic fervor and action? I believe it will. How so? God's sure word of prophecy. The angel who unites in the proclamation of the third angel's message is to lighten the whole earth with his glory. A work of worldwide extent and unwanted power is here foretold. The Advent movement of 1840 to 1844 was a glorious manifestation of the power of God. The first angel's message was carried to every missionary station in the world, and in some countries, there was the greatest religious interest which has been witnessed in any land since the Reformation of the 16th century. But these are to be exceeded by the mighty movement under the last warning of the third angel. Interesting. We are told that the fervor that the Advent movement had from 1840 to 1844, what will be in these last days, even greater than then. Wow. Could you imagine that? Is that what's happening in our church here? It will happen, we are told. Do we believe it? Why do the nations rage? I'll tell you why the nations rage. Jesus is coming again. We are seeing what we have been preaching for many years. This could be exciting news for some, but yet for others it could be a little scary. And I have some good news for you. God loves you so much. And he's wanting to come into your heart and into my heart today. Jesus is ever knocking on our hearts so that he may enter in. Is that your desire? As Jesus comes into our hearts, may we love him, may we trust him, and stand on his word, and love him and our neighbor as ourselves. And may we lift the cause of the oppressed. And may we share in the preaching of the everlasting gospel that will have more power than in 1844. In these last days, nations are angry. By this we do know Jesus is coming again. May we prepare today to meet him in the clouds.
Song number 213, Jesus is coming again.
Lift up the trumpet.
Thank you, Father, for how you are ever preparing a people. And Father, what your word says is good. What your word says is true. And I pray that we may not make our decisions on what we see, but on what your word has said. Father, may you send your spirit to revive us. May you send your spirit for what you have said would happen in this Advent movement would come about in our day. I ask, O God, that we all might be ready for when Christ shall come. May you show us how to love you. May you show us how to love one another and give you glory. May we all be found ready. In Jesus' name, amen.